Hi, Josh.
Hi, is your guitar in tune? That's a affirmative.
It's close.
In the key of affirmative.
It's close.
Life in the key of G.
When the people that you know don't like you, treasure friendships in, tuned into this podcast, we're your artificial friend.
Boom, boom.
That was the most that tender.
I was super tender. I wasn't ready for that. I feel like we took the relationship to a new level right there.
That was kind of nice.
Glad we weren't like making eye contact. That would have been really weird.
Josh, we got things to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
First of all, Sam Farmer is on assignment.
I know.
Larry Morgan.
Doing cool stuff again.
On assignment. Maybe I should start off by making a phone call.
Are you sure that thing's even going to work?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, then let's just start now so we can edit it out when it doesn't work.
Absolutely.
We can just start the show over when this fails.
I'm absolutely not sure. Let's try it.
All right, let's see. Get the guitar ready for when it's... It's ringing.
Oh, look at that.
Ringing.
Who could it be?
I know.
I think I know who it is.
He's not going to answer.
No.
This is the worst start to a show.
In radio, though, it's there's nothing more intriguing than when you hear a dial tone and...
Hello, you've reached the Morgan residence. Call right now and definitely
leave a message.
Not ignoring you. Please leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, simply hang up or press pound for further options.
I want further options.
He's not ignoring us, he says.
I want to press your pound, Larry.
Sure, I'm available. Give me a call.
If Charlotte's answering, we're really sorry. Didn't mean to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Love you, Charlotte.
Maybe gave us the wrong number.
But tell Larry. Tell Larry to call us or we'll call back. Larry Morgan, trying to reach him by telephone. Well, here's the thing. Talked to Larry yesterday. We mm-hmm. traded texts.
Yeah.
And I said, I realized he wasn't going to be in town. But I said, hey, how about a phoner? How about we just try to ring you up?
Uh-huh.
And he says, yeah, sure. Hey, what is it? Try me on the old-fashioned landline. He gave me a number and everything. But in his defense, something happened. An act of God happened between then and now.
Oh, okay. Is this something I'm unaware of?
Obviously? I don't think so.
What happened?
There was an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
There was a magnitude 7.1 earthquake last night.
So Owen had not felt an earthquake yet, and he is like, I don't know what they taught him in school, or like he's got all worked up over these earthquake drills, but like if a big truck goes by, he's like, Daddy, earthquake! And I'm like, no, it's not an earthquake. And and every time like the floor vibrates, Daddy, I think it's an earthquake! I'm like, no, it's not an earthquake.
Oh look, phone's ringing.
Let me see.
Hello?
I haven't listened to the voicemail yet, so you were nice.
We were nice to Sharla.
I didn't answer because, well, for one, Sharla was staring at the caller ID and was going, Andrew Charlie? Like, no, I don't know any frickin' Andrew Charlie. And second, Alex is here with us.
Hey!
It's birthday. He's opening presents.
Nice.
Say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Yeah. They can't hear you. You're
gonna okay. Then. Well, we don't want to keep you away from that. I was just explaining. I was actually coming to your defense, Larry. I was saying that yesterday... You said, sure, call me up. Yeah, that'd be great. And in your defense, which I don't come to very often.
True, very true.
In your defense, there was an act of God since that time, 14 hours ago. There was a 7.1 earthquake. You're, in Cambria? Did you feel it there?
I did. I was the only one in the room that felt it. We were actually watching TV, and I... felt a little rolling, and I wasn't sure if it was Because I'm hypersensitive about earthquakes, and I tend to feel them in my, like, I hold on to it. Alex said, feel them in my butt. That's hilarious.
That's right.
28
that's
years
right.
old.
If you're
doing that,
if,
that's
if, your, butt, if your butt starts to tingle, you know there's an earthquake yeah. going on.
Well, it's your, you have sensitive inner ears.
Oh, yeah.
I actually, these two earthquakes that we've had, I've heard other people say this about these because of the unusual way they roll, but other people have said that it seems like their vertigo is coming on again.
Wow.
And I totally had that sensation, and I felt it last night, but we did not get, like, any serious shaking or anything. How was it down there in the Southland, y'all? Well,
first of all, people often talk about the unusual way you roll. But
yeah.
I was on the toilet
thank you.
At the time.
You were on the toilet.
I thought I caused it for a minute.
Was there splashing going on? Did you ever get like water in your under cheeks when you're sitting?
There was, but that was before the earthquake.
Backsplash. That's the worst.
That water's cold.
That's actually, that would be the greatest sequence of videos on like KTLA where they show people. It's like swimming pool crazy. Andy Chanley's toilet overflowing.
No, actually, in truth, I was just putting, and this was kind of emotional. I was putting the kids down to sleep. And, you know, Lara has taken a couple of here and there. She's been doing clients, you know, doula, a postpartum doula. Mm-hmm. So that means she okay. goes like, at
I'm
bedtime.
I'm glad you added that last word. Thank you.
She goes and stays with them at bedtime, right? So the mom and dad can sleep and you know, catch up on their emotional, well-being. And she stays with the baby all night while, you know, and then she comes back early in the morning. Well, this last night happened to be one of those nights where she had left like 20 minutes earlier.
She was doulaing.
Yes. And so I was putting the kids to bed. I was in bed with Silas and Vivian. And we had, you know, read story and turned out the lights, kissed and hugged goodnight. And we were laying there. And you know, 15 minutes later, or 10 minutes later, there's this shaking. And
you screamed earthquake and ran out of the room.
I did. Ran up the middle of the street.
Just left.
They didn't know what to do.
You grabbed their blanket and screamed earthquake and ran.
So here's what goes through my mind. Number one, I don't want to freak them out. Uh-huh. So I just, I said, and it was clear that it wasn't just going to be a 2 second thing, a minor rumble.
Yeah,
it was going to go on for a while.
It like accelerated. Yeah. It didn't like come on strong. It came on like, ooh, there's a little earthquake. And all of a sudden it's like, hold on. When's this going to stop growing? You know what I mean? Which is what she said.
So so I pulled the door open and I said, hey, let's get on the floor here. Gonna get down on the floor. So I get them off the bed. Now they say if you're in bed when there's an earthquake, you should stay in bed, cover your head with a pillow, and you know,
really?
Wait for it. But the bed was right next to a window, and I didn't want to be
scary.
Next to the window, so I pull them away from it. And then the only other thing, we've got a bathtub, and we've got the kitchen, the dining room table. So, but I'm thinking the dining room table has two windows on either side of it. Don't want that. Mm-hmm. And the bathtub, pulling them into the wet bathtub might have been a little traumatic for what I figured was going to happen there at that point. So I pulled them into the doorway. Now, they say anymore, that's not the answer.
You're supposed to do is lay beside your bed so if things fall down,
that's exactly it.
Have like a cubby
behind. We're at the foot of the bed, right? So we're lower than the bed, and the difference is the reason they say don't stand in a doorway is because some people don't know if their doorway is load bearing or not. So
they say that it's no safer than any other part of the house. For the most part it might actually be weaker because of the structure of the house.
It could be.
And for years that's all we heard, by the way, was doorway. Yep. No.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So like they used to say, cigarettes were good for your health. Yeah. All of a sudden. No, but in that corner, they say go to an interior corner of your house. And that is an interior corner where 1, 2, 3 doorways meet. Like there are 4 doorways within 20 square feet. So that was, I knew that was a good solid place for them to be.
So that's probably where the joists meet.
But, they're starting to gently freak out like, Daddy, what's happening? And I said, well, it's a little earthquake. and, you know, Viv and they, neither one of them had ever been in one. Mm-hmm. And I said, everything's okay. I said, these happen all the time. We just don't feel most of them. This one's just a little stronger than most, but we're going to be fine. And what's weird, what kind of freak outy, mm-hmm. is over, like Silas's door is right across the hall right there. And he had a jump rope that was tied to the doorknob,
right.
And I look over, and that thing's swinging back and forth. It was freaky.
Yeah, Larry, right before you called, I was telling Andy that Owen, I don't know if it's just because of like training in school or whatever, has been for like the last year. It's just anytime there's been a mild vibration or anything, he screams earthquake. And he doesn't freak out. Well, he just like is hypersensitive because he. He's freaking out because he doesn't know what they feel like yet, right? And every time he feels something, he kind of goes, earthquake. And we're like, no, it's not an earthquake. So I'm sitting in my chair. We're all watching TV, and I'm in the dad chair, and Owen's on the couch, and Cindy's on the other chair. And Cindy kind of feels it first and goes, is that an earthquake? And then I kind of sit still, and all of a sudden I feel a little bit of a roll, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's an earthquake. Owen... it was like somebody screamed grenade. He ran across the living room and dove underneath the dining room table and just was like underneath there. And he's like, it's an earthquake. And I'm, and by this time, it's still building. You know what I mean? It's still, and it was one of the rolling kinds. It wasn't like the shaky vibrating kinds.
And it was sitting like 40 seconds long.
Yeah, so I start like laughing a little bit, and all of a sudden Cindy's like, this is an earthquake. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. Then I started feeling it getting bigger, and I was like, holy crap. And I looked over, and we have this big bookcase, and it was swaying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go over there and stand and hold just so I get up and just went over and kind of stood and held the bookcase. And by that time, it started to slow down. But I've never seen that kid move that fast in my entire life. It was like a blur. He was just like, no! He just ran from the couch across the room and dove. It was great.
See, that's awesome. What I was going to ask you guys, because they've made kind of a big deal about how it's been literally 20 years since we've had a measurable earthquake of that size. 1999, I guess, was the one they've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so your kids have grown up really without being a constant. And I was thinking, because Alex was a little guy when the Northridge earthquake hit, and we were up in the Antelope Valley at the time, but felt it really good. And that was really early in the morning. And I remember that because my first instinct was to go into his room. And he's got, at the time, he had a bedroom where we had we were in this house that had these shelves just above his bed. And we had all, but it was mostly all just kind of stuffed animals and stuff, because he was a little guy at that point. But I remember kind of, because we were shaking really good, and I just remember kind of hovering over his body, kind of shielding him, and I was just getting pelted by these, like, soft plushy. It was like, it was a disaster movie if designed by Disney, you know?
like if there's anything in the world that you want to fall on you during an earthquake, it's plushies.
Stuffed animals, exactly. So that's interesting that your kids really have really not grown up with that any sense of what that feels like.
And they still haven't even felt one of the real kind of shaker, the real scary ones.
That's something that's people centered closer. For
anybody that's listening that's never felt an earthquake, there's two different kinds. There's one that feels like you're on a raft in a pool that's just kind of this rolling, floating, mm-hmm. wavy thing. And then there's one that feels like somebody is literally shaking the earth around you, and it's like it's violent. Those are the scary ones.
It's those sharp jolts that are the ones that are the worst to experience. Even if they're shorter, they're still way scarier. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, it's one of those things that...
Why do we live here again? What's the deal?
I want to be close to you, Larry. they, you know, what's weird is this happened on 4th of July, the first one, the 6.4, and I didn't feel that.
We were in a car.
We were out at a parade and just didn't feel it.
Yeah.
But I had the immediate thought then, and I'm sure that, not to turn into Lucy Jones, but I'm sure that you know, many people have those thoughts, but I had the thought, what if that was a foreshock? And sure enough, like, you know, 36 hours later, wham, we get a 7.1. Yep. And there's a 10% chance now, after they looked at the data, they said, that that was a foreshadow that there's another one, nasty one coming. And just watching last night, the you know, watching them show the animations on TV of where, you know, plotting them out on the map of where all these things were and how this, you know, this fault basically bloomed with all of these extra, you know, earthquakes, 5.0s afterwards. It's really terrifying. And the other thing is that they say that the San Andreas, like, you know, to the south, that that's supposed to have a real nasty one, you know, every 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's been 160.
Do you remember your first earthquake when you were here? Do you remember, like...
My first earthquake
was
when I was in Lafayette, Indiana.
That you felt?
Yeah.
Really?
I felt two earthquakes in Indiana before I ever moved out here.
Like, how big were they?
Between 4 and 5.
Okay. And what were they? Were they like the rolling kind or were the shaky kind?
It was rolling. It wasn't a sharp...
See, I would just have to question myself that maybe, like, well, did I have too much to drink or something? You know what I mean? Like, if I felt something like that in Pennsylvania, I'd be like, I don't know what's going on. Well, something's off with me.
The new Madrid fault, they don't say Madrid because they say things like Versailles. Like, where are you going, Versailles? No, it's Versailles. Anyway, the new Madrid fault goes, like, from up there in, and there are gorges and stuff up in that part of Indiana. So they're geologically really interesting land, even though it just looks flat on the top. But then you go down through the White River Valley down towards, you know, the Mississippi Delta, where the Mississippi and the Ohio meet around Memphis and so forth in Tennessee. They say that, you know, it's been hundreds of years, but there have been earthquakes on that fault that have reversed the flow of the Mississippi for a time.
Did you know the Mississippi River is where the line where Hardee's becomes Carl's Jr.?
And
I've proven it. I've actually run the experiment. It's the Mississippi River.
And if you cross it with refrigerated Coors beer, that's bootlegged.
Really?
This might Fine be the most beer. Educational episode of this podcast we've had.
I learned that on Smokey and the Band.
Larry, what about you? Do you remember your first earthquake?
Yeah, I do, actually, because it was it's indelible, because it was a pretty good one, but it was I was at USC, so I had
This was the 40s?
Been there. What?
It was 1940s?
Is this when booze was illegal?
Yeah, it was in the mid-40s. It was my freshman year. And I was at lunch in the Bernkrant cafeteria, and I remember because I was sitting across the table from one of the RAs in one of the girls' dorms, and there was just a bunch of us sitting there, and in the middle of lunch, and things just really, I mean, it was a really good shaker. And I knew immediately what it was, and I'm immediately looking to her because she lived here forever, and she's an RA, and she was an authority figure, and it's shaking, and I'm going, that's an earthquake, right? She says, oh, yeah, that's an earthquake. And there's a long pause, and she goes, I should probably be doing something right now. Yeah, that'd be great if you actually, like, led us to safety or something. By the time that conversation was over, it was over, and we just kind of went back to our, you know, bad cafeteria food. But, yeah, I've never forgotten that. And that period, that was actually early 80s, and it felt, and it seemed like there was a good, you know, period there where there were quite a few over time. So I remember this has been the longest stretch
that I
can remember that I've lived here that there have not been that many.
Because there's always there's always like a little reminder quake. You know what I mean? Just like you know that you feel you're like, oh, that's what an earthquake feels like.
The last one I remember was the Shamrock Shake. Remember that happened on St. Patrick's Day at the
oh yeah.
Is that the one where I was drinking? Is that the one where I got shit-faced on air?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I think so, maybe. Uncle Joe
recently,
was on the air.
More recently, probably, was the Harlem Shake, actually. That was probably a little more...
Huh?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Did I lose you? Hello?
So anyway, immediately, years ago, like, you know, after 9/11, I became a bit of that's when I had my first midlife crisis.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm in my early 30s, and yet I buy a BMW and a gun. and I go out and I bought
I can't get to the bell fast enough. You know, so I buy a BMW and a gun. Oh, okay. Because those things go hand in hand.
It sounds like a completely different kind of crisis, actually. Yeah, exactly. I think there's something else going on there. Were you married to your previous wife at that time?
No. No, no. Okay. I was in between. Okay. But I also went and bought, you know, when we were told about the potential terrorist threats that might exist. You know, we're what? 20 miles from the 20, well, more than that, 30 miles from the port of L.A.?
Yeah,
right.
So, I bought some potassium iodide pills and a little kit that you put together.
What did you do during Y2K? Did you buy all that stuff, too?
No.
In 1999, you bought a Y2K kit because everybody buried it somewhere.
But I had different stuff, and I bought some online, some MREs.
Yep.
Some military meals ready to eat. Yep. Yeah. And had those and candles and a radio and two-way radios and some batteries and stuff. I had a kit put together.
Okay.
So if you know, end of days came, at least I'd have a couple more
you
days.
You could have some fresh water while you shoot your gun off in the air.
I'd have
your
the
BMW.
Most, I'd have the most of the end of days. Hey, if the zombie fucking apocalypse happened, I wanted to be able to get a couple of shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever read How to Survive Zombie Apocalypse?
No.
There's a zombie survival guide. I'm by Max Brooks, Mel Brooks' son.
Right.
It's an amazing book. Well, it really is. Like, it's really thought out, like, what to do. Like, you should, like, destroy, like, get upstairs and destroy your stairs. So then, because they're so dumb that it's like, as long as you just take out your stairs, they'll just be at the bottom of the stairs going.
No, it's very practical.
Yeah. That's so stupid. And I think he said like the best weapon is like an axe because it's versatile and you don't have to reload it and you could use it to chop up your stairs and also decapitate.
Well, that is
see, good thinking.
Well, boys, speaking of disasters, I'm going to beg out of the rest of this podcast so I can get back to the final present. He's got a whole new wardrobe laid out in front of him right now.
Oh.
There's one big reveal coming here in a moment, so
well,
I want
Larry,
to be part of that.
Larry, so great to talk to you. Thanks for taking time out of your family time to be with us. We're taking, I'm going to announce this further later, but going to take next week off. We're going on a little vacation.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, fine.
Where are we going?
We didn't take a trip last time. We're going to do one this time.
All right.
I'll talk about it when Larry's gone, because I don't want him to know.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk.
You're going to leave your number with me, though, right? Your itinerary, and you're going to let me know about your flights and all that, right?
You're taking care of the cats.
Is that if I can come here and we can call you on vacation and record it?
Sure.
Exactly.
Anyway, Larry,
thank you
so much.
You know what, Josh? I've got a key to his place.
Okay, good.
Larry, our love to Sharla and Alex. Thanks so much to them for letting
miss you, man.
Talk to us for a few minutes. And now, in honor of the earthquake, can we get you to give us a little Carol King on the way out?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that would be appropriate. Here, I'll sing you. Now, remember, don't hang up on me this time,
okay? Absolutely. Come on.
All right. I feel the...
It's the reason I come here. It's the reason I come here is to hang up on him. I remember my first earthquake, we came home at like, I was only out here for like a month and we had a pool. And we came home from the bars like 3 a.m. or something. I remember sitting on the couch and just being like, you know, like that, that just getting home from the bar, sitting on the couch, and just sprawled out like, what did I do that I, you know what I mean? I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I just hear the pool splashing.
Wow, yeah.
And I'm like, is this an earthquake? And I'm like, something fell off the mantle. And my roommate's like, yeah, that's an earthquake. And I just sat there and I felt everything start moving. And I just started laughing hysterically.
What year was this?
1999.
Oh, so it was the 99.
The 99?
The big one.
It wasn't that big.
It was 6 something.
Really?
I think so.
It was. Yeah, it was 99. It was like...
That was the last
fall?
Big one we had.
Yeah. It was like fall of 99?
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, last night, within minutes of this thing, Laura's texting me, does this look like a good earthquake preparedness kit, you know, on Amazon? And she's like, picking up this stuff for us to have. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I've got batteries and I got a flashlight. Really what we need is some water and some beans.
That's,
you know,
we have a big orange bag that's just covered in dust and it needs to be replaced, but it's got a bunch of those clean water packs, the stuff you put in water to clean it. And we got in the junk drawer where it should be, is one of those flashlight/radios that you can crank.
Sure.
So you don't have to. Yeah, that's completely useless, by the way.
Right.
Try fucking cranking crank that thing at like 60,000 RPMs just to get a beam of light that'll go six feet, and then your arm hurts, and you're like, fuck it, I'll just stay here in the dark.
One of those hand crank radios. It's like, hey, could you stop cranking? I can't hear the radio over your crank.
And it's like, you're like, okay, now I can't see. All right, great. I got a dim, it makes less light than a candle.
So we got one of those on the way. That to look forward to.
Ah. So what else happened this week?
4th of July happened. Nope. Did you have a joy? Did you?
Well, yeah. It sounded like D-Day at our place. This year was North.
You're paying around the city, right?
I would like to applaud the Valley for their fireworks display this year. We stood out on the road. Owen was in his pajamas and his tennis shoes, and I grabbed the drink and I went out and sat on the stairway on the curb, and in every direction there was just massive amount of fireworks going off, and I was like, I felt bad for the people that like went out and camped out to like get good seats and stuff like that. Cause I'm like, I'm just having a cocktail and sitting outside on Van Nuys Boulevard watching this. But it was nuts. It was nuts. I mean, it was nonstop. It was just like boom, 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 boom. Dogs. I guess we took them on the leash just to see how they would deal with it, and they lost their shit. So, and then there was the residual fireworks from last night. So we had an earthquake and then residual fireworks going off within like 30 minutes of each other.
Sure.
I thought the dogs' heads were going to explode. But as long as you sat down with them and they just sat beside you, they were cool. If you were like trying to enjoy the fireworks, they would freak out. As long as they sat down. How do your cats freak out at all?
Yeah, they don't like it.
What do they do? Do they just run inside?
Cower and try to find shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was. Did you?
The cats were a little freaked out by the earthquake too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you? Did you watch fireworks?
Yeah, we went. We go to Starlight Bowl usually, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. You drive up there, and they have a concert. There are three different bands that play. Rounded up by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I told you about when I worked at Channel 103.1 and. 1999 or whatever, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy played after a Dodgers game.
That's Brian. Is it Brian Setzer?
No.
Or no, who's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Different band. Different. Isn't there somebody? One of those types of bands, though.
Yeah, but isn't there somebody from other? Oh, okay. I thought somebody from. I thought
Brian Setzer Orchestra, you're thinking of.
Okay, maybe that's it. Okay.
That was the time that I got to sing the national anthem at Dodger Stadium.
wait. What?
Kind of.
Okay.
So did
60,000 of your closest friends?
Well, okay, so the idea was that after the game, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy was going to play a concert out in the outfield, right? And everybody just stays after the game. Well, one of the biggest joys of it was to hear the commercials that Vin Scully did for us. It's like, come out to the Dodger game. Afterwards, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. It was amazing. It's time for Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Apologies to Eric Arthur. And Vin Scully.
You don't worry about Vin Scully.
Like, he's listening. Anyway, so Nicole Sandler was the music director at Channel 103.1, and we both go to the game, right? And we're going to introduce the band after the game. We go back in the locker rooms back there in the offices. They give us these cool Dodger jerseys.
Did you get to keep them, or did you have to?
Yeah, I still have it.
Really? Does it say Chandling on it?
No, it doesn't have my name on it, but it's a big blue. I should.
Oh, like the alternative batting ones?
Yeah, it's one of the. Like,
yeah,
it's
no,
like,
I know what you're talking
about. It's like
about.
The genuine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like their alternative jersey, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? Because they're grays. The gray and white are the normal ones, but then they have like every team has like a solid. They used to be batting, what they call its batting jerseys.
They used to play in blue, didn't they?
No, they're gray. And
years
blue.
Ago?
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, they didn't ever play in the dark blues?
No, 20 years ago is 1999. Yeah. I guess they did.
Anyway, it's a beautiful jersey. And so they give us those. We go out. They put up a microphone at home plate. And Nicole's like, how do you want to handle this? And I said, well, just go out and you introduce yourself and then introduce me. And she goes, okay. And so she goes out and she goes, hi, everyone. I'm Nicole Sandler from Channel 103.1. This is Andy Chanley. And I step up to the microphone and go, oh, say. And she hits me. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, you guys already did that. And then, so I clear my throat again. And I go,
was there crickets? It was no, like 60,000 crickets just staring at you.
There was a smattering of laughter, and then I said, "My bad."
Was it the uncomfortable kind of laughter?
You're introducing my timing. I said, "Oh, my bad." Oh, Canada. She's like, what are you doing? And then there was an actual peal of laughter from the crowd. I got an actual round of laughter from the crowd at Dodger Stadium, and that's pretty impressive.
How did it feel to have that much power behind your voice? Like,
right.
like
today,
because it's like echoing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the luckiest man.
Well, it's weird because you can hear the slapback, right? You have to ignore that. But yeah, it was pretty joyous. Anyway, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy played up at the Starlight Bowl. They rounded things out, and they were great. And we go up, you get in, and you go up to the lawn, right? You can sit in the seats, but that's not the best place to be. Right. You want to be up on the lawn. You can take in.
Plus, you want to go on the field. You want to be
not Dodger Stadium. This is Starlight Bowl.
Oh, okay.
We go up there, and you go up on the hill, and this is just the other day, not 20 years ago.
Right.
And we go up there, and you can bring in coolers of whatever you want to drink and eat, and you lay out your towels and blankets. And you listen to the show, you have fun with your friends. We had a few different families that we knew that were there. We've been doing it for a few years. And then afterwards, the fireworks, we just laid back on our blanket, had a blanket to put over us. I'm laying there cuddled up with Laura and Silas, and we're looking up. It was the best fireworks I've ever seen.
And it was a perfect night for fireworks.
It was glorious.
Nice and cool.
Glorious.
It wasn't hot and sticky at all. It was just like... It was great.
It was best 4th of July ever. Best 4th of July ever. So really enjoyed it. I wanted to ask you about something, though.
Okay. Go ahead. Ask me about something.
Yesterday, I experienced something for the first time, July 5th. First time I had ever been in an establishment like this.
Ooh.
Viv had a little dance recital.
Okay.
Dance camp, I guess. She's 4 and a half, so we went to dance camp. And it's like a 3 or 4 hour long thing. And while she did that, then Silas and Laura and I went nearby to the mall and killed the time at Dave and Buster's.
I was just there yesterday.
So was I.
Did you see me?
No. The one in Northridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there.
What time were you there?
I was there from about 12... No, about 1 o'clock until 2:30.
We got there at 3.
Okay.
We got there at 3. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
They stayed a little longer, so they probably were ignoring you. They probably did. But we're there, and it is a casino for children.
Oh, absolutely.
It looks like a casino. The only thing about that place that doesn't seem like a casino is it doesn't smell like cigarettes. And you can't win money.
Yeah, and people don't vomit on the floor. I take that back. People could vomit on the floor.
It's kiddie betting.
It totally is. It's yeah. Like we go in, and before we start playing, because here's the deal: is I know he's gonna want to win a prize, and Dave and Buster's is if you want to win a prize and of all those stupid arcade things where you get tickets and try to get prizes, it's the only one that. is in a reasonable, like, you feel like I can actually get some of this stuff.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, because all that other stuff is like 17,000 tickets, and then you play one game and you get like high score and they give you three tickets.
And you get a rubber spider.
You're like, exactly. That foam stuffed animal up there is going to cost me $83 to get. You know what I mean?
Right.
But this one, we always go in and we always come out with something. So I always go in and be like, let's go see. Within reason, I'll tell them, I'm like, no, you can't get that. You can't get that. We'll find something that I'll be like, okay, let's try for that. And then we will go play games until we get that amount.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest, go play like fun arcadey games just for fun. And every time we always get what we want.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a total casino.
I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for it being like feeling I was at Circus Circus.
Why? What'd you think you were going to do?
I just thought of an arcade. Arcades were not like that when I was a kid, where you put quarters in and you played Asteroids and Pac-Man and that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe Galaga. But I walk in there and, oh my God, they're all virtual reality machines.
Oh,
and
yeah. Some of those games are pretty intense.
And the neon in there, it's overload.
Yeah. I mean, there's the jump rope game. Did you do that one?
Uh-huh.
There's like it's like this big circle with like lights that also go on underneath you, right? And you got to you're on like a mat,
uh-huh.
and it goes around. And you got to jump, and every time you jump over the thing, you get like a point or something. Then it speeds up, and you just keep jumping like you're jumping over a jump rope. And you get like, if you do, I don't know how it works, but you get tickets from that. There was one game where it had all these buttons. Did you play that game?
Uh-huh.
There's 30 buttons, big buttons on a wall. And when they would light up, you had to reach up and touch them. But like eight would light up, and it would give you like 2 seconds to get them all. So we both played at the same time. Yeah, the games they have now are crazy.
I only got to play two games. Well, one was a game, one was an experience. I did the Batman game with Silas. We did it tandem.
Was that the virtual reality thing?
No, this is where you're driving around.
Oh, yeah.
And shooting stuff.
Yeah.
And then the one where you kind of get in the chairs and you recline back.
We rode that with your tourist.
We did the Western theme. Where we're out riding on the
guns?
On the, no, you just sit back and it's, you know, like when you ride on Star Tours or something where it moves you around.
Right, right, right.
And you're riding on this. So it's like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And when it vibrated, I made an audible sound so everyone around could hear me going, It was awesome.
Real crowd pleaser. Yeah. It's like, oh, look at that guy.
Well,
he's
nuts. I wanted to make an audible sound so all they would hear wouldn't be my neck fat.
So you're laying there going, oh, yeah. Canada.
Hey, a couple of things from last week.
So what's your overall experience on Dave and Buster's? How would you go back?
I would go back. The food wasn't awful.
Okay.
We had a little lunch there.
Yeah.
Food wasn't awful, and it was, and the games were a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd go back. Sure.
Yeah.
For all the world, it's like being in a sports book.
And you know what? I ration that crap out.
Yeah.
I save it for special occasions,
yes.
And it's like you don't want to go do that every weekend. And plus, Cindy gets like a coupon every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Right. Where'd she get the coupon?
I think if you like register with them, they'll email you coupons. And it was like if you put $20 on the card,
uh-huh.
They'll give you another $20.
Oh, nice.
For free. So nice. We just game the crap out.
Hey, did you see the? I tried, by the way, on Thursday to post the last podcast.
Okay.
Couldn't get it to encode because it was like 67 minutes long. Had to keep bringing down the resolution level on it. Finally got the thing posted last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
So it took forever to do it. But did you see the picture that I used?
The selfie?
It was
this
one.
That's a great one.
That Aaron Al took last week. And you know what my favorite part about the picture is on the podcast?
What?
Is that it cut Sammy off.
Did it?
It did. That's what
I
you
just
deserve.
Glanced at.
He's completely missing him.
Poor guy.
Not by intention. The computer knew.
Yeah.
The computer knew that we didn't want it yet.
That was a fun one.
That was great.
Yeah.
It was a whole lot of fun. We have, I believe, since we didn't post anything on Thursday, not a lot of call for the YAF line. So we only have one call that I know about at this point.
Is it a LEM?
It is.
Oh, it is?
626-657-6428 is the number. You have 2 weeks to call in because we are going to take off a week. We're going to take a little trip.
You are. I'm not. Well, I'm coming in. I'm going to sit here.
Do it. That'd be great.
I don't care if I just come in here and not record for. I'll just stare stare at your seat and cry for an hour.
Aw. That warms my cockles. Yep. Yeah, we're going to take a little road trip. Going to see my best friend in Northern California.
Ooh.
Maybe go to Tahoe for a day.
Nice.
Then come back down to the Sequoias for a day.
How many days?
Like five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
I have somebody watching the place, though, so don't think about it. Don't think about it.
Don't change the passkey.
Don't think about it.
You're going to change the passkey?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But anyway, yeah, we're going to do that next week and going to be out of town for a while. It's going to be glorious. And so, you know, you're going to have to live without us for a week. But
I'll manage.
Feel free to use that time to put in your phone call to the YAF line, 626-657-6428 or OAMUCKPMHAT.
Hey, Affers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. This week, I built an ecology block retaining wall with a curtain drain under and behind it. About 140 feet long, 4 foot high. Those ecology blocks weigh about 4,000 pounds apiece. There were 45 blocks, Jesus. 7 loads of drain rock. The next day, I built a parking lot extension for the camp and conference center, 2 blocks away from the shop, 80 feet by 63 feet,
a lot of energy.
Plus a new driveway entrance, about 350 cubic yards of base rock and 3/4 minus. Not a bad week for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
Do you think he writes down... Like, this is prepared, and then there's, like, after every sentence, it says, pause. And then there's another sentence that says, pause.
Yeah, break.
Do you think he, like, this is a script? Or do you think it comes off the top of his head? Do you think he has that little amount of energy?
I think it's in his blood.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's in his nature. You know what I thought about doing?
What?
Laura said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to put this on Patreon, so at least it would pay for the beer. And, you know, like, Gina... Gina and Teresa Strasser, their thing, they do something really smart. They'll have they do the podcast. Yeah, they do the podcast for free, but then they've got a hold it, Josh. That story is a little too personal. Let's put that behind.
You know what I was going to say? I listen to some.
I think maybe Low Energy Mike should be behind the paywall.
What I was going to say is, or we could do a post show, and I'll just record me driving home from the show, like in my car, just talking to myself, and then we could post that to subscribers, right? It could be, you really want to be one of our? No, look, you don't have to be an artificial friend anymore. You can be just a friend.
Well, you know, we could also
by subscribing.
You know, we could also do. We could also do videotape. We could also set up cameras in here.
What's the rate? $5.
I don't. I'm thinking like a couple bucks a month.
Is it we can do monthly or just?
I don't know how.
You know, here's what we'll do. We'll do like $2 a month, right?
Yeah.
And then like once a year, I'll be like $10 now, and you're on for the year.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like a sale, like around Christmas, $8, and we'll give you 2 months free.
Wow.
Those 2 months we're taking vacation. I was going to say something. I got my tub refinished.
Oh, how'd it go?
Boy, that's some nasty ass chemicals. I'll tell you that much. There's a couple times I look down at Owen and I'm like, we should probably go outside. This is pretty unsafe. I definitely got some disease I haven't discovered yet from sitting in there. Woo! He's like, can we open some windows? I'm like, yes, please. Thank you. God. And we're just sitting there. I was in his pajamas and just like creep down the stairs. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go open the screen windows on every window.
Did you leave the house or were you in there the whole time?
We were in there the whole time. Guy comes down. He's got a gas mask on. I'm sitting there with a 7-year-old like, thanks, buddy. You might want to tell me that I should get out of the house. Owen pulls 7-year-old pulls his shirt up over his nose and goes, Dad, I don't think this is healthy.
Father of the year.
Well, that was when I removed this from the premises. I was yelling, yeah, buddy, this is This is pretty bad.
When your 7-year-old has to break it to you.
This is some healthy
dad. That he's imperiled.
But it just came out of nowhere.
He's like the canary in the coal mine.
Exactly. Yeah. When he goes down, that's he falls over, I'll just pick him up and go outside.
That's when you know. Jesus Christ.
I didn't realize it was going to be. I thought they closed the door.
Close the door.
In the bathroom. Yeah, but that was. Well, I can't leave, so I have to stay there.
You do?
Well, I don't want some dudes just hanging out in my house stealing shit.
I don't think they're going to steal shit.
Well, I know they're not going to steal shit if I'm downstairs gagging on the fumes.
You get knocked out.
Yeah.
That's when they steal.
Who's smarter here, buddy? Hey, you're not going to let you get any of my PlayStation games, but I'm going to die from lung tumors.
Right. They wait until you pass out, then they take your shit.
Exactly.
Out to the truck. So what you had, tell us what you had done to the
they
glazed the pool and sealed it up and then put a cover on it? Or the bathtub?
We took the doors off and they left all the sliding glass doors for a shower, right? They left all that framework and everything up. There wasn't any disassembly like that. But they taped it off like they were painting it. Then I had to pay for two different things because the crack is in the tub and it was a fiberglass tub, was around kind of where the bottom of the tub and the walls meet. There's that kind of concave, you know what I mean? You know, it's not a straight 90 degree angle. There's that little where the two sides meet, or the floor and the walls meet. Well, there was crack kind of going around half of that. You know, and there was another little crack somewhere. So he's like, you have to reinforce, because that's where all the stress from standing in the tub is going on. You have to reinforce that. So I think what they did is they put like strips of fiber glass down, like 2 inches above and 2 inches below and all over the bottom, then sprayed the fiberglass on it and everything, right? And then sanded it down so it's smooth and flush to the old tub, and then refinished everything and repainted it, and it's just like new. It's got a warranty, and I don't have to worry about.
Wow, how long's the warranty?
2 years.
Nice.
$500. It's not bad. Better than spending $5,000 to fix the whole bathroom.
Yeah. Well, $500 plus the mesothelioma treatment.
Yeah, that was on the house.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, that's glorious. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you got that fixed.
So I got that done. I still working on the handrails.
Still?
Yeah. Well, I don't have any time to do it.
It's taken you longer to do these handrails than it did for me to build a shed.
That's because I'm entertaining a 7-year-old and making dinner and doing laundry and all that bullshit.
I was doing that too.
Huh?
You know what I got to do now, by the way, speaking of the shed? So a little later on today, we've got neighbor kids coming over.
Mm-hmm.
I have to dig out the water slide bouncy castle.
The big one.
Yeah. It is, you know that new shed?
Yeah.
It's at the very back of the bottom of that big stack of shit. I've got to take virtually everything out of that shed to get to this friggin' bouncy castle and then put the thing up. So that's what I'll be doing for the next 4 hours.
And then into like a week, you got to repack all that. Yeah, actually, the next tomorrow, you got to repack all because you can't leave that up for when you're going on vacation.
Right. Yeah, I got to pack it all up and put it all away. Sure.
Did you try ever riding on that thing? Or will it just buckle?
I think it would take. Well, it's made of that, like, strong Tyvek, you know, what bouncy castles are made out of, that stuff, that strong stuff. So that heavy-duty vinyl that's reinforced, it probably would last, but it's a real short ride. I mean, like, my legs can reach to the bottom of the slide. It's like,
it wouldn't even be a ride. Right. You're just laying on the castle with your feet in the water.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a lot.
It'd be fun, though.
But the kids love it. You know, good. I like to make the kids happy.
Yeah, you do. Unless there's an earthquake, then you run. Earthquake! There are no rules!
Dad.
just runs, grabs some food, out of the pantry. He's running down the street.
Granola bar running down.
No. With their blanket.
How can people get a hold of you, Josh?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
Well, that's a good place.
Is the only way to get a hold of me because I only have one way to get a hold of me because that's the way to do it. Andy, how can somebody get a hold of you?
Between my legs. It's on Instagram. You can follow me there. Okay. It's Andy Chanley. You can follow me on Facebook. DJ Andy Chanley. Or on Twitter. Andy.
_ Chanley.
That's right.
When are we gonna do
what?
Are we gonna do like what version are we gonna do?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we've done all the versions.
All the versions.
Just a little burp. All right, let's just go.
When the people that you know don't like you. Wait, that's not even the song.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you're treasured friendships, and tune into this podcast, where you are the official friends.
What was that?
That was like flamenco, a weird B-52s, some weird, I don't even know what that was.
Devo.
Like ska or something.
Happy vacation, everybody.